Hello and welcome to the next 100 Days podcast. My name is Graham Arrowsmith.
And my name's Kevin Appleby. So Graham, you fancy curry?
Do you know, we've never said that on this podcast before, but I always fancy a curry. I actually am privileged to work with a young lady who is a young Muslim, and she basically cooks for me on the days that she comes. So basically I get some kind of food every at least 2 days a week.
Fantastic and authentic, and not the stuff that we've invented in England and pretend is
correct. Oh, no, she's learnt at the feet of her mother. So basically, it's beautiful stuff. So anyway, so I'm kind of well-versed with Indian food in particular. And I have to say, we have an expert here who's transformed, one of his restaurants is a transformation of an iconic site. We'll get into that in a minute, but Bilal Yogi, I hope I've said this, Yogi, welcome to the next 100 Days podcast.
Thank you for having me, guys. It's a pleasure to be on. I'm looking forward to this.
Well, you are, you're the marketing director for the Royal Nawab Group.
Correct, yes.
Tell us a bit about that then.
So we are a group of restaurants based in the UK, and we kind of fall into the affordable luxury is where we sit within the market, and we predominantly serve Indian Pakistani food, and we're a buffet concept with around about 120 dishes. We cook live in front of our guests in one of the largest open kitchens. All our restaurants have the largest open kitchens with about 50, 60 chefs that cook live in front of the consumers. And at the moment, we're really popular, or we're in the headlines and in the mainstream news for taking over the iconic Stockport Pyramid, which was derelict for around probably, I would say, at least 10 years or so. And we've opened up the Royal Nawab Pyramid branch then, which I'm sure we'll go into.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's where, I mean, when I first sort of did some research on you, one of the things that I noticed is you've got the pyramid. And I was talking to my colleague, Faisal, and I was saying to her that it used to be owned by the co-op. Well, actually, the co-op repossessed it from the developer. He was trying to create a series of these structures, but I think probably just ran out of the money. But it's iconic.
Just to kind of get in. So I think there was about five or seven originally that was supposed to be built. We've got that were only there was only one built, and you're 100% right. The co-op then took the building on. It's very famous. If you're traveling towards Manchester Airport, you have to drive past it. We're right on the motorway, and because it's a blue pyramid and it's five floored, 100,000 square foot inside, it's huge, so you can't really miss it, and people always want to know what's inside it, and now they can come and see what is inside this building.
Well, it's a massive building. I would imagine if you ever fill the building, you'll be like patting yourselves on the back for a month or so. I imagine that it's quite challenging to fill that building at any one time. So is that one of the challenges that you've got? It's about occupancy.
When we took this building on in 2023, there was a number of challenges. We were coming out of the COVID pandemic at the time, but we were kind of still in it. We had Brexit. We had so many issues that we were dealing with. So we faced challenges from the start regarding the build to even now. But we're coping really well, in a sense. Just to give you a bit of context, we've spent about £16 million so far on this building. Out of £16 million, we've spent £10 million in the local economy alone. So a lot of the suppliers are local we've gone with on this. So, for example, the furniture's local, the lighting's local, the metalwork's local, the carpet's local. And we've done that intentionally. One, our founder, Mr. Mahbub, who is Stockport-based, and has been in the restaurant game for 50 years, wanted to keep the money within the local and help the local businesses. Secondly, we like to work with our suppliers on a closer basis rather than going China, getting it made and bringing it in. So that was the first set of issues we faced, and kind of getting people together on this scale. Because even our lights are handmade, and we've had them handmade in the UK, which is very rare. Like, you know, thinking of that kind of craftsmanship, you probably think wouldn't exist anymore, but it actually does. They were made, done by a company called Chantel Lighting, based in Nelson, and they do Windsor Castle.
All right.
So they did the lighting on the building. So that was the first set of challenges of finding the right suppliers who could do something at this scale, and then getting the materials. And then the second challenge was obviously once we've opened. So to give the listeners a bit of an idea on how big we are, our restaurant is a 410 cover restaurant. An average restaurant is 70. And if it hits 100, you're in the big leagues. We're 410 covers with a theater kitchen of 50 chefs that cook live. That's on the ground floor.
That's a lot of cost.
Yeah, 100. We're just short of 200, just short of about 200 staff at the moment.
Wow.
So that to me says there's another challenge, that how do you get the throughput of guests to pay for it?
There's a number.
Start paying back the 15 million you've invested in the place.
Yeah. So I'll just cook one step. So on the next two floors, we've got event spaces which range from 800 seaters all the way down to 60. So you can have an 800 ballroom up there, or you can have a 60 room for a small private function. So we've catered that on the next three floors. How do we fill this? Is since we've opened May 17th, I think we opened April 17th, we've done 90,000 paying customers through the door so far. Wow. The way we've done that is in multiple ways. We've done that purely on internet, social media, storytelling. So we've never said, this is an offer, come in. We've never said, look at all this amazing food, come in. We've more played on the fact on, this is the project we're doing. So I was actually inspired by the Battersea Power Station project. I don't know if you've come across that in London.
Yes.
Which was derelict for a very long time. And people were intrigued to go inside that as well. So I thought what we're going to do is we started the social media marketing a year in advance. So we showed the build stage of what we're doing, how we're doing it, who we're working with, all the local people that are involved, getting people involved on an aspect of polls. What should we have here? What should we have there? Give us your comments. What would you like to see? And then thirdly, what we did was we heavily leveraged influencer marketing to kind of drive. So that was the marketing aspect. But the other aspects of marketing, which probably people don't think of as marketing, but we do, was giving the guests an amazing experience when they come in. So once they arrive, they have an experience that they want to come in. Our repeat customers are 53%. So we're very high on repeat customers because they enjoy the experience, amazing service, and giving them food that they remember and they want to keep trying.
Wow. Mm. And you, like you say, you've got all these chefs, you're cooking. I can imagine, is the sort of base of the cooking area right? I'm just thinking about the pyramid. Have you cut a hole in the top of the pyramid so the smoke can go out?
Yeah, so we've got, when you enter the pyramid, the restaurant is on the right-hand side. And basically half of that restaurant is split between a kitchen in the back and a theatre kitchen.
Got you.
So, and then our vents come out the side of it, off the building, going outwards.
Yeah, where do you blow it towards? Manchester or Stockport?
Leeds.
Graham, you think about the vents, just think about all those gorgeous aromas coming out of the building.
That's actually
not a problem. That actually attracts people in.
So what we did was we've got a special filters designed so they take the smell out of the... So it just hot steam we're blowing out, basically.
It's the scale of this, which is... I mean, like you said, if you've got a restaurant with 100 covers,
yeah, you're in the big leagues.
So, but you're like four times that. Is there anyone with a restaurant?
No, so we're the
bigger
biggest. Yeah, so just to give you, so we're the biggest in Europe for Indian Pakistani food.
Okay,
indoor, because in some restaurants in Turkey and stuff, you can't get outdoor with it.
Okay.
So we're the biggest indoor. The second biggest is our second branch, which is in the Hoover Building, the old Hoover HQ in London.
Yeah.
I saw that on your A4. Website.
Yeah, so that's on the A40, just before you get to Wembley. That's 390.
Going way, way back, I used to work for a company who had its head office in Wembley. When I used to go down to, flew into Heathrow, the taxi always used to drive past that building.
So we own that building. Half of it's a restaurant with a 200-space free car park in London, which is unheard of. That building, that branch is similar to this event space and parking. And then we've just, 2 years ago, we opened one in Ilford. Below in Ilford, there's a very famous Cineworld cinema. And that's just a restaurant. That's 380 covers. So we own the three biggest in the country.
Wow. I mean, I don't, anybody listening to this will have been to an Indian restaurant. And they will have enjoyed it and they'll have gone back. maybe not quite as often as you're getting them to come back, because it is an experience. It's not, I suppose it's, you know, it is an experience. So you're going to go there and you're going to go back if you like the food, or you want that experience again, or you want other people to share that experience. And you know, I have my youngest son is living in Manchester now with his wife. My eldest son is living in that place where you got your lights from, and you know, and we're just over the border. We only get into Lancashire if there's a fight going, you know, because we're from Yorkshire. So you
Of
know,
course.
that's, but basically you are an amazing place, but there's a strategy there, isn't there? You've not gone, you could have had 10 restaurants, couldn't you? But
We could
you've,
have had 10 restaurants. We could have done this a lot smaller. I think there's a number of strategies that work and certain strategies that in business generally are overlooked because these days everything's about marketing, marketing, marketing. Put it onto social, then they hope to fill it, and everybody tries that. But there's other aspects to marketing, physical marketing. When you meet people, how you treat them, that is a marketing aspect. You know, how you look after them once they come in, and also food has gone from just being a restaurant to an experience. So you know, if you like, an example of this is if you look at Selfridges. When you walk into Selfridges, the feeling you get. It's when you walk into Harrods, the feeling you get. So we understand that and understand how restaurants and how the food sector has changed. So our restaurants are very larger than life. Once you're in there, you would genuinely think you're abroad because you just forget you're in England. And thirdly, because the theatre, the aspects of it, 120 dishes out of that, I think 103 are Indian, Pakistani based. Then we have a continental section, 60 desserts. You know, you have people with somebody's got spicy food, somebody wants non-spicy, somebody wants veg, and we can cater for all of it.
Bilal, I can see there's a bit of a problem there though, because you're going to get somebody who can't make their mind up, like Kevin, you know, and you know, he'll be there, well, I like that dessert, but I like that dessert, you know, he's kind of, you know, he'll be
I
there all
have the Rowan
night.
Atkinson Indian waiter sketch playing out in my brain at the moment. The one drunken person in the party asking for a Big Mac.
Absolutely. You know, so yeah, so we don't do Big Macs, but yeah, so we're built to deal with scale, but the most important thing is from in this economy as well, which you know a lot of businesses are finding tough. I think that a number of things that go into making anything a success and anything which at this scale can operate, because normally you wouldn't hear of anything unless and also we are privately funded. We're not with some hedge fund, and we're not. It's all the Mr. Mabu's own money that's been gone into this. You know, a local businessman that supported local businesses and has opened up into the local iconic pyramid building.
Right. And so, but the germ of a thought in his mind, or the people around him who came to him with the thought, or maybe he came to them with the thought, was there's this massive building on my doorstep. I've seen it for years. I think it was built in the late 80s. So
Correct, yeah.
basically, you've got this building that's been iconic. It literally is. And anybody who's listening to this who haven't, you know, Google it, because it's there. There's a lovely set of pictures of it. And of course, now you can go to the Royal Nawab Pyramid, and you'll find out more about that. But the what I would say to you though is that somebody somewhere said, from a marketing point of view, we're going in big. We're not just going in, you know, as big as the biggest, we're going in four times bigger than the biggest. That's quite a strategy. So you've gone in as a, you're the marketing director, so not there's any pressure on you at all, but effectively, you know, I mean, you've got it easy, haven't you, really? You've got three square meals a day at your place, and you'd be all right. But the end of, but you've got to implement this strategy, which no one else is doing by the sound of it. And you've got, and you're 2 months in, you got off to a great start. Is, can you sort of almost sketch for us the kind of things that are in your mind to, not only to sustain, but to, shall we say, challenge the limits of your capacity?
Yeah, so Graham, it's a great question. I think from our aspect, we understand experiences, and that's what we're focusing on. So always adding in, whether that's a winter wonderland, whether that's a Halloween, a Harvard Garden, something along them lines. Secondly, what we do not take the eye off the ball is looking after that customer that comes in. And I think thirdly, what's happened to food, especially since COVID, and you might have seen that where you are, there's a lot of places that have opened up since COVID. because people were on furlough, they had spare cash, they all thought, well, we're going to get into food, everybody loves food. But not a lot of places do food very well. There's a lot of food places, but they don't do it really well. And that's our foundation of the whole thing, because without the food, we don't get the repeat custom. We don't get people coming in, because you can only bring the horse to water. You can't bring the horse. You can't get the horse to drink the water. So that is the number one thing. And then for us is thinking of different ways on we can promote this. We can work with this. We can really leverage this. But I think also there's a lot of people are intrigued on something of this scale. Like you said, you don't really see it on this scale. You know, even if you go to the high street or anywhere, you just do not. We've got a 510 space car park. You know, we've got a space for 7 coaches and we've got 50 EV chargers which are being put in. So that just tells you the scale of it. And it's just people intrigued. And I like to think what we do it really well, whether that's events, restaurant, from the restaurant side, catering side, and we do it well. And that helps us because of.
You've got enough car park space to sort of run like a mini park and ride, I would imagine. I mean,
Stockport County were in this morning asking if we could do anything with them. So, yeah, because they're not far from us. Yeah, we have. But in the evenings, we're quite full. Then when we have events, we get more full. So it works well for us. But I think I'm telling you, obviously, there's destiny involved. There's hard work involved. There's everyone on the same page being involved. There's teamwork involved because it's not just by one, but there's leadership. So when you said someone had the idea did come from Mr. Mahbub to actually take this on. It wasn't like the young people in the office were saying, we need to take this on. You don't understand. It was his, like, we're going to go big and we're going to go really big in a very troublesome time as well, you know, for the economy. You've seen around so many places are closing and that's what he does. And he does it. He either goes big or he goes home.
It reminds me of a colleague I used to have at Royal Mail, and he was, prior to being at Royal Mail, he was actually the guy behind the Shaken Vac ad.
Okay, yes.
And the one thing about them was that they went big. It kind of at the it passed on sadly, Adam. But basically, he was describing how it was almost like the Schwarzkopf, attack, sort of overwhelm the forces. It's an overwhelming approach to marketing, and you know, this Shake and Vac thing became, nobody remembers
huge.
It now, but it was huge.
Yeah, I remember it.
And I don't know what they put in it, but it made the carpet smell for a few days. But at the end of the day, it was a brilliant marketing exercise. You've got the same task, and I know that you've got some fantastic brands that you've catered for. Top of the lot, of course, is Leeds United Football Club. So, and then you've got sort of lower known brands like Manchester United, but you've then got the Hilton, you've got Marriott Group, Cedar Court, Thornton Manor, which nobody else will know apart from me because I used to go there as a kid. But basically, you've got that kind of level of entities. You're creating a wonderful set of people who are supporting your company.
Yeah, so we look to partner with, so you can remember, you can imagine something on this scale, you get so many inquiries, people that want to kind of come on a journey with you, but we're very selective on who we work with and we're very clear on who our customer is.
Yeah,
we're not the type of business that says everybody's our customer. We understand very, very well who we're catering to. Yeah. And then we're very selective on who we partner with, you know, whether that's Stockport County, Leeds United, for example, if we were to do anything, you know, we wouldn't do something, for example, with boxing as an example, because it doesn't fit in with our customer base. And there are so many aspects to this that happen. But honestly, anybody listening to this, you can spend tens of millions on marketing, because that some people, if the product and the experience is no good, it doesn't work. It just does not work. Because you see so many, how many restaurants open and close. So to give you, I'll give you listeners an interesting stat. So in hospitality, the average lifespan of a restaurant is about 4 to 5 years. Mm. We've been going for, this will be our 25th year as a brand. Mm. Secondly, the average retention in hospitality is 12 months to 15 months. Our retention on staff is 13 to 15 years.
Wow.
We've got staff here who started when they left college, and now their children work here with them.
Wow.
And that's about treating everybody this with respect, caring, empathy. There's so many things that go into this, because I don't want to just sit here and say, you know what, it's all about the marketing and me and my team hit it out of the park. It's not. It's about everyone involved, whether from the person that's greeting you at the front, to the person that's serving you, to the person in the back, to everyone. So we really like look at that as a family aspect and how we treat everyone as well. Oh,
that's absolutely,
Bella. I love that. And you know, I'm getting so frustrated at the moment about all of those people that still seem to want to approach you and think the only thing that's bothering you is getting enough leads.
Yeah.
You get emails day after day after day telling you this is wrong, or your website's not optimized, or whatever it is. But
Kevin, I've told you, you can always opt out of my emails.
Oh. You that send them, is it, Arrowsmith?
No, I'm not.
But the thing that I've really learned over the last 6 months after taking over the partnerships business and Grow CFO, it's not about getting into the partnership or the relationship to start off with. It really is about wowing them once you've started.
It's the good old British customer service that we were famous for worldwide.
Totally.
That's what it is. You know, I remember as a child, my mother would not shop anywhere but Marks and Spencer. It was Marks and Spencer and nothing else. Yeah. And we were famous for it worldwide. The British customers, it was huge. A lot of companies, if you go to Dubai now, the whole thing is built around that British customer service experience where you'd go above and beyond.
It looks like she's still buying your shirts, but I think it's a good shirt. You know, I really do. No, seriously, Monica. So, Bilal, you've got a team there, and you've got just looking at your website, the people you've got, the pyramid, which is in Stockport. That's the kind of anchor place.
Yeah,
you've got the Perivale, which is the one on the
Hoover Building,
building, the on the A40. Going into London and Ilford, which
East London,
it's the other side of London. So
next to West Ham, with the ground is not far from West Ham.
Oh, we've got such a disgruntled audience down there. I mean, they'll come out with their faces on the ground when they come out of the whatever it is stadium, but then they'll cheer up when they get into your restaurant. I guess.
Of course.
But
the way to deal with those West Ham fans, you need a special offer.
Sorry, Kevin.
You need a special offer.
Yeah,
to cover every time West Ham win.
Yeah, they probably never win. That's the thing. Yeah. So they never redeem.
Let's hope not.
Yeah, but you've done the marketing.
Yeah.
You
must have. Do you have anywhere else in mind? Because you've obviously tapped into East and West London. And you've obviously got Manchester, the North. You could argue.
To give you an idea, Grim, our catchment areas are quite big because everything's advanced booking. So we understand where everyone's coming from. So at the pyramid, as crazy as this is going to sound, we're ranging from Edinburgh to Birmingham and Liverpool all the way across and anything in between. And the London sites do the same thing. We've looked at this for a long time. We looked at Birmingham, we looked at Edinburgh, but we wouldn't add in any more of this scale, because obviously the capital required for something like these is huge. You know, we're not dealing with £1 million or something. It's huge. And secondly, for us, the next steps that we're going to focus on is corporate. We're going really big into the corporate sector for corporate events and corporate catering that are very big for us. Thirdly, our charity side is going to be very big this year. We're working with a lot of great local causes to help them raise money, because one of the brand pillars is to use our brand to raise awareness on others. Like last week, we had a really small charity that was really not getting much awareness in Stockport. They transport sick children, families that are from unprivileged backgrounds don't have transport, and they come and take the children to their appointments. So we did a huge evening for them. And we've got a thing. So corporate, event catering, then our charity side will occupy us for the next 24 to 36 months. And then we'll probably be looking at potentially moving into taking over a golf course or something along them lines, and a hotel, which can add into our portfolio of experiences.
I see. That's amazing. Amazing growth you've got there. And is it the kind of business? I mean, we know that restaurants don't tend to last long, but yours does. But is it the kind of business that will weather ups and downs in the economy?
Yeah, so we weathered the 2008 when the crash happened. We've weathered lockdown where we're open, we're not open, 1 meter apart, not 1 meter apart. We've weathered so many different costs of living going up. So we've weathered it. But touch wood, I think I keep coming back to this. I think service is so underrated these days. I think if you could provide good service and good food, it makes everybody's life a lot easier.
I want to take you back to your demographic. You know the people that turn up. First of all, you probably, if it's pre-booking, you've probably gathered quite a bit of information about them.
Correct, yeah.
So that enables you to, to communicate occasionally with them and to sort of hopefully encourage them to come back. But have you analysed the types of people who are coming to the pyramid? Are they
Yeah.
kind of Kevin and my age? The sort of,
Yeah, we know
or are they a
exactly.
lot younger?
So we our average booking size is a family of five to six.
Okay.
65% of our customer is non-Asian. They are non-Asian. And the most interesting thing is we don't sell alcohol either.
No.
And we've got so it shows trends within the consumer where before if you had an Indian restaurant and you didn't do alcohol, it was a big stumbling block, which I understand. We've been in the game a long time. But now where the non-alcoholic drinks, mocktail, have really upped their game, so you can get a really good product too, so to fill in the gap. Secondly, people are a bit more, it's not make or break for them. And thirdly, our consumer are mostly families that are like want to celebrate a birthday, graduation, they want to come in. The father likes a certain taste palette, the children like another taste palette, and we can cater for that.
And also, it seems obvious, but they're probably not living within a your walking distance of the pyramid. So the chances are they'll come in via a car or like you said, a coach potentially. But basically that means that they're probably not wanting to drink anyway. So it's a you're a destination restaurant, aren't you?
Yeah, destination restaurant, yeah.
And so from that point of view, they might, as you said, they might come from all points north. Can't imagine that somebody's going to jump in the car in Leith in Edinburgh and then drive all the way down to you for a meal and then drive all the way back. So that's not likely to happen, but they might be
No, but
down anyway.
and we
Even
were
if
in
it's
Manchester a few weeks ago, Graham, to go to a big gig. Now, if I'd known at that point about the pyramid, I'd have
you'd have
probably
gone.
said, oh, we're down in that part. Wonder if we can get a table. That's the way that one works.
We are a destination. We are somewhere where if you're in the air, because the location is just off the motorway, literally you can see the motorway from opposite me, and you can literally parking, it does make it easier to get in and out of. And secondly, like you said, there are different demographics that I think generally as a nation, our taste buds, our buying habits are changing. And like I said, I think a lot of when we researched into this on why certain brands are failing, I think either they're focusing on experience, so they'll have like, let's say they'll spend a couple of million on the decor of the building and then take the eye off the service and food or vice versa. And I think that's the key. And just to give you an example on service, an average restaurant will have one waiter per five tables on average. We have one waiter per three tables. And then the drink stuff is separate. So we'll just have a waiter there for you, close by, whatever you need, making sure that the plates are cleared.
Do
We're
you give
very
your waiters that standard piece of training that I think is common in nearly every restaurant, Bilal, that they can manage to walk across an entire full restaurant and manage somehow not to make eye contact with a single person that wants to attract them?
No, we because each so we our section our restaurant is split into five sections. Each section holds about 70. The way the structure works within that is each section has a manager whose job is just to speak to customer. That's all he does. How are you? Where are you from? Could we get you anything? Have you tried this? Have you tried that? Because it can be overwhelming looking at 50 chefs cooking and a huge buffet and think, I don't know what to get. So then his second job is to make sure within the 70 people in there, they're all looked after, and the waiters, he'll have five to six waiters under him, maybe a bit more, depending on how many covers he's got filled, and they will look after him. We're very big on that. We will not get a miss.
Yeah, I don't. I think that was a bit of a left field question, that one, Ken.
Yeah,
He wouldn't be like that. I mean,
now you've
your
sat
restaurants
in
in
those
Newcastle be
restaurants,
like that, but
haven't you?
not here. I
You've
mean,
sat in those restaurants, though,
but
haven't you? Where you want to get a hold of a waiter and somehow they're walking all over the
I
restaurant,
know.
but they never, ever look in your direction.
In other restaurants, but not this. But what I would say though is that the thing I'm really interested in is that my colleague Faisal is educating my palate. The more you eat, and she'll say, is it spicy? Is it spicy? And sometimes it's coming out of my head, sort of thing. And other times, I'm coping. And it's for me, what's interesting in if you must have got almost like a top five or a top three meals ordered. So if somebody comes to your restaurant and orders, shall we say the I'm going to take a guess at it, but it's something like chicken korma or something like that or whatever. Is that one of the most popular dishes that you serve, or do they actually know you for different things?
Yeah, so we're known for basically the traditional curries and your traditional starters, number
Right.
one. Our popular dishes are your butter chickens, chicken kormas, trotters. Trotters are really big.
Trotters.
Yeah, lamb trotters we do.
Okay.
Feet,
All
which are
right.
huge.
Yeah.
We're one of the few restaurants in the country that have a full-time naan specialist who can make every naan under the sun. So
Oh,
you
wow.
could say, I want a Peshwari naan, I want a Keema naan, I
Yeah.
want this naan. Or you could take there and he'd say, you know what, with that naan, try a corn naan, which you can't really get in this country. And so we have a lot of staff that are just there for recommendations. And so you might say, you know what, I only eat a butter chicken as an example.
Yeah.
And then the chef or the floor manager that will be there, he said, you know what, if you like that, I want you to try this. Then please let me know what table you're on. I'm going to send some special dishes over for you to try.
That you know that's that that that's making me salivate, because basically one of the beauties of eating is you don't know what you've never had,
Correct.
and the beauty of actually having the capability for even if it's a small sample, do you like this? They're going to go away with that in their mind, and it's going to be a almost like a magnet to bring them back. And yep, guess what? I'm going to try that. I wonder if you can measure that as well. That'd be interesting.
We do a dish with chicken liver. It's a traditional Pakistani dish. It's a
Right.
curry. Normally, if you saw chicken liver on a menu, you would not order it. Nobody
No.
would. So that's one of our biggest sellers at the moment, because we send it over, people try, oh, this is fantastic.
Yeah.
Another one is corn naan, which is made from corn, which is yellow. And again, you have that with spinach. Beautiful. It's a beautiful combination. So we understand that. Within our country, we only know maybe six, seven curries,
Yeah.
and we understand that very, very well. But our staff are trained there, who they're constantly with you saying, try this, try that. What table you want? Let me send something over.
Is that one of your subtle strategies, though?
Yeah,
Because
of course.
as a marketer, I'm thinking
Correct, yeah.
the wider the breadth of your of people's go to food, the more likely more people are going to come
Yeah,
back to you.
absolutely.
Yeah.
And I think it's an sorry, Kevin. I think it's a nice touch as well, right? If you're sat there and normally somebody like me will only eat a butter chicken, and if stuff, even though it's a buffet, people are bringing things to your table, going the extra mile for you think, oh, that was really nice of them, And I think that is a tactic that we use.
No, it's really
And
clever
where
stuff.
the advantage is, Graham, is we don't have to cook that. I don't have to go in the back and tell the chef to cook. It's already being cooked, so I just have to just get it plated and sent across.
Kevin, can't wait to go. But
And I'm
you've
thinking of big 400, 500 cover restaurant. Great, you've done all of this marketing up front, talking about converting the building, getting that going, the making people really curious about it. Now open the doors. You're going to get a lot of people coming in out of that curiosity. Great, you are going to wow them because you're going to give them some fabulous service. But there's still that thing, that problem that comes to every hospitality business is 6 months, 12 months down the line, you've lost that initial wow factor. You're now talking about how do I get these people back in for the second time, for the third time?
I think
I'm seeing some great things from Bill Earl in how you manage that.
I think there's a number of ways. One, we've got data. Two is we have to give them a reason to come back.
Yeah.
And the reason is obviously the experiences we're about to add into this. This is only phase one. We're going to add in a lot of, we've got a lot of stuff planned going up to that Christmas period. And then it's about learning from that. And it's about adding things in. If we just sat here and said, you know what, we've done 90,000 in the first X amount of weeks, it's going to be fine. No, we're actually the reverse. So we are constantly trying to look for innovation, what we can do. Because one thing we have, a lot of restaurants that don't have, is space. We have a lot of space, you know, whether that's how what we decorate for Christmas, what we do for the New Year's Eve celebrations, what we do for charity, whatever we do. What do we have space and lots of it, and we use that to our advantage. And I think the key is to keep innovating the menu, keep innovating the experience, keep looking at key dates and working around that.
And do you deploy this sort of I don't know, you're bound to do, but member get member sort of strategies? So, because at the end of the day, I've been loved it. I'd love to feel that I can introduce somebody else who doesn't know about it. I know about it because we've had this conversation. And ever since you've come into our lives, I'm thinking we did drive past it a little while ago on the way to Altrincham, and it was a bit like, that's the place. But you know, all I would say is that part of your thinking is almost like to allow other people to use their great experience to refer you.
Yeah, and there's also the modern day referral, because it's very aesthetic in here. People take pictures in here.
Yeah,
that's a form of advertising. So I was here taking pictures. We have a huge fountain and chandelier where you can see it looks like a 5-star hotel with we have glass lifts in the middle. So people take a lot of, so that's the modern day word of mouth, if you want to say. And yes, we do have people saying, you know what, we had a fantastic time. You need to come here. They'll bring their grandmothers here, they'll bring their parents here, they'll bring their children here. And that's what we rely on as well.
Wonderful. Honestly, Bilal, we've come to the sort of the end of this podcast, but I just feel that you should have made this more of a feature and sent us a decent dish each for us to eat whilst we're on the call.
Graham, you couldn't talk and eat on your barge at the same time.
Oh, have you ever met me? I mean, crikey. I mean, yes. But seriously, it's been a really interesting podcast. I think people listening to this will be thinking, what a job this guy's got. I know it'll have its challenges, but there can't be that many marketers in this. You know, look at it from a marketing point of view. Marketers taking on such a massive launch enterprise. And I have to say, it sounds like you're doing a pretty good job.
I have a great team.
Well, that's because you're a good manager that you're mentioning the team, but you know it's all about you. So, seriously, though, I can't wait till we have an opportunity of coming down to say hello on your doorstep.
We'll have to get that arranged very soon.
We'll definitely do. Bilal, thank you for joining Kevin and
thank
I
you for having
on the
me.
Next 100 Days podcast.
Graham, I think some marketing lessons there that aren't just applicable to the restaurant industry, but we can take and spread across virtually every type of business. No, we're not just trying to get a volume of leads and chuck offers out at them and get them through the door. This is about an experience. It's about a relationship.
And what Bilal really clearly explained is, that comes first. The marketing stuff is sort of feeds from the experience that people get. And that, if you said, give me a definition of a brand, it's usually, and it should be, the experience that you have of that brand, not the kind of silly things that sometimes marketers do, like they did with Jaguar and like they did with Cracker Barrel until Donald Trump got involved. The truth is, they've, you know, you can make real foolish mistakes, but if you at your core understand the experience and the way in which you treat people, if they go away with that kind of feeling, then they're going to come back and they're going to tell their friends and they're going to share it and they're going to make your brand for you. So I'm really impressed with what he's done. The fact they've taken on an iconic, and some would say in the Stockport area, cursed building, because it, you know, it had its problems in the past. But these guys have turned it into a destination. So it's a bit like, wow, we've taken this basket case of a building, a beautiful building, but it had a checkered past. But now it's got anything but a checkered past, anything a checkered future. It's got a brilliant future. And it's the number one restaurant of that size in this country.
And I think there's something pretty fantastic going on here. And I think as I reflect back on Bill L's marketing message, I think what's coming up here is he's done the work not to do outbound marketing and really bombard people with stuff. He's done this in a very clever way that actually everything he's created is inbound.
Yeah. Well, there's a lot of moving parts here, so he'll probably have lots of things going on within his team to publicise the Royal Now app, including joining us, Kevin, on the podcast.
I think about my own learning, Graham, over the last 6 months in the new role that I've been taking on at Grow CFO, working with tech partners.
Yeah.
When I look at the webinars that we've done and the demo days we've organised, the most successful relationships are with the partners that were inbound leads for us. Now, the ones that approached us, the ones we've worked with, we've formed a strong relationship with, we've given them an experience that's worked. Very rarely have they been from those, oh, we're doing a tech event on this. Which 20 companies are in this tech space? Bombard them with emails and see which one catches. That doesn't work.
It has been an experience. To be honest with you, if we ever do get down to see that restaurant and spend a bit of time with Bilal, it'd be wonderful. But it would be nice to get a little bit of that filmed and stick it in the show notes, so we can actually, you know, literally tell people how it tastes. Because
so we could have Graham on camera eating an onion burger.
Well, that would be. I would be really tempted to try things new, though.
That was something that really caught my mind, because how many times do you go into an Indian restaurant and you order the same thing?
I know. And naturally, you're going to compare it to the last time and so forth. And I just think there's a real opportunity for people to sort of spread their knowledge. And I've been very fortunate with my colleague Pfizer, who has tested me on a set of different dishes, and it's widened my palate. A bit of home cooking for lunch, it's not bad, is it? But on that sort of nice bombshell, today I've been Graham Arrowsmith.
I've been Kevin Appleby. Goodbye.
Goodbye.